News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
807 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton absolutely loving the brand new app that looks like several thousand of you have already downloaded. Good going. You can get it at the Google Play Store. You can also get it
iTunes App Store. I know you've got an Android. You can't be bothered to learn the name of the other app store that's out
iTunes.
There.
iTunes. So a lot of you have already done that, and you're really taking advantage of that little microphone down in the corner where you can just leave us a voicemail, your opinion of whatever topic you would like.
That's right. I know one person who has not downloaded the app is Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com,
you'll
Washington
get to
Examiner.
It.
I don't mean to air out anything here, Quinn, but Sean and I brought it up a couple weeks ago, said, hey, we got a new app out, and you said, what is an app? Did you not?
I did. I was slightly exaggerating. I think I know what an app is, but I don't know how to use them.
Well, it's all right, because we get to talk to you every week, so we know your opinion on things, and we get to read your writings, WashingtonExaminer.com, QuinnHillier.com, and, of course, the trilogy, the Mad Jones trilogy at Amazon. So thanks for joining us this morning, Quinn.
Thanks for having me on.
What do we want to start here, Quinn?
Well, it is, I think, definitely worth it to talk about former Congressman Sonny Callahan, whose funeral is today, and I got to see him very close hand up when I was in Washington, and can talk about that in a minute. But before we get to that, you know, a lot of people, if they're politicians, you know, ones that serve very, very well, like Sonny Callahan, deserve all the praise they can get, but there are others who serve without the spotlight. And Dan, your son, Zach Miller, was one of those. And he was a Navy SEAL who won all sorts of awards in, you know, under fire. For the one that sounds the coolest is the Bronze Star with Valor and Extraordinary Heroism as part of an overseas combat operation. He was just almost 40 years old. He served in all these different dangerous things and did fine with them, and then unfortunately fell to an inoperable brain tumor that came very suddenly. And that's the kind of service that does not get the headlines. But my hat is off to him, to you, to your family. I'm reading the obituary, and it just boggles the mind, the kind of things that these people do. And I want to urge listeners who are readers, if you want to understand what it takes to become a Navy SEAL in the first place, there's a great book called Damn Few, Making the Modern SEAL Warrior by Rourke Denver with my buddy Ellis Hennekin, who's a liberal journalist up in New York, but we sort of knew each other growing up. Rourke Denver, Ellis Hennekin, Damn Few, Making the Modern SEAL Warrior. It tells you what they do out there in California to train to become SEALs, and it makes you have such an appreciation for people like Zach and what they go through to become SEALs. And then Zach went on and served for another 15 years, nearly 15 years, serving the country, putting his life on the line. My hat's off to him.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we are heartbroken and very proud at the same time. That's kind of the way I'm kind of trying to get through it, is the pride.
Well, you should have pride, and my condolences to you. And I understand there's going to be an Arlington Cemetery service coming up in a month or so,
yes.
And I know that you will be moved by that. I've been to one of those, and it's truly extraordinary how we honor these fallen heroes.
It's going to be it'll be a special day in our lives for that event to happen. We're humbled by what Zach was on this earth. We're humbled.
Well, I mean, and a good local boy made good.
Yep.
Here since he was 12 years old, he was. Captain of the McGill-Tulane football team, also played baseball and basketball. Extraordinary story.
Well, thank you very much. Is Sonny Callahan's is that funeral today?
His funeral is today, And I was on with Sean at midday yesterday telling some stories. I was up in Washington working in Congress when Callahan was sort of at his peak. And my boss, Bob Livingston, was chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and Callahan was a subcommittee chairman for him and was basically one of his favorite people there. And I told about some of the things Callahan accomplished, including he really added the peace in the Middle East. You can read about it. Google my name and Sonny Callahan. I told about that on the radio yesterday. What I didn't get to say yesterday, and what is a very little known part of what would have been Sonny Callahan's career, is my boss, Bob Livingston, great guy, by the way, but you might remember he was the almost speaker. He was just about to become speaker, and then a decade-old problem in his marriage surfaced right during the Clinton impeachment stuff. He and his wife had long made up. They're still married. Bob and Bonnie, they're together. They're wonderful. But Bob felt that he had to step down from being near speaker. But he thought so highly of Sonny Callahan that he was less than a week away, or about 10 days away, from becoming speaker, and he was going to create a brand new position for Sonny Callahan. People don't know this. The Speaker of the House has two basic jobs. He's sort of the leader of his party in the House, even though there's also a majority leader and a majority whip. But he's also responsible for making sure the whole House as an institution runs well. And he had the party stuff handled with the majority leader and the majority whip, but he wanted to create a position called Deputy Speaker that was just appointed by the Speaker, not elected by anybody, to help run the other half of it, the institutional side of it. And Bob Livingston, my former boss, had said Sonny Callahan was going to be his appointee as Deputy Speaker. Now, most people don't know that, but that's how highly he was thought of, Sonny Callahan was thought of, and frankly, the country would have been a lot better off if Bob and Sonny had been able to go on and do those jobs. But again, I know a lot of people down here think highly of former Congressman Callahan, as well they should. I don't think even now they realize what a big deal he had become almost overnight nationally when Republicans took the majority in 1994 and Sonny got to prove himself on a national stage. Mm-hmm. And really did it well.
Interesting story.
Yeah, you know, Quinn, I honestly did not know a whole lot about Congressman Callahan until his passing. I've learned a whole lot from this station over the last 4 or 5 days. 30 years total in political office, I believe. 12 years in the Alabama legislature, then 18 years in Congress. And in a time where every congressman didn't get the TV time that they get today. I don't think there was, you know, C-SPAN running 24/7 like it is now. Was he viewed on the national stage, or like you just said, did it take until that moment in the sun? And he must have, if he kept winning election after election, the people down here must have really loved him.
Well, look, the people down here loved him. Especially when he became an appropriations subcommittee chairman, but even before that, he was really good at taking care of local needs. And I'm not talking about just pork barrel stuff, local projects, but policy that affect, you know, that was national policy, but that had an effect here. He was good at. He was a very good negotiator. He was a very canny negotiator, and so he served very well the needs of Southern Alabama. But on the national level, I mean, I've got to say, and I said this in my column, you know what? Those people up east, especially the media, they sort of look down their noses at Alabama. We know that. It's annoying. And here was Sonny Callahan. He didn't go to Harvard or something like that. He had been an 18-wheeler truck driver at one point. I mean, he ended up a trucking executive, but he didn't fit their profile of a leader. And so they didn't realize what he was until he got to be the Foreign Operations Subcommittee Chairman, later the Energy and Water Subcommittee Chairman. And lo and behold, he's working out deals with Netanyahu in Netanyahu's first term in the 90s and with the top officials of Egypt, completely changing how we do our foreign aid in a way that really is still paying dividends today. And you know, by 2 or 3 years in, the national media realized, hey, you know, we've got a guy there that knows what he's doing. He's canny. He's hardworking. He's very gregarious, and people like him. And so he started getting some real respect, and he really deserved it.
That's excellent. That's good perspective and great little memories of Sonny Callahan and how he impacted more than just South Alabama. Quinn, when we come back, we got a few things we could hit on, including the infrastructure deal, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Also, what the Supreme Court's up to, that's all on the way. 17 after 8 o'clock.
This is FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Dan Brennan for the University of Mobile, committed to helping you understand the purpose God has for your life by challenging you academically and spiritually in a community where you are known. And how about this? Average class size, 13. That means your professors know exactly who you are. Voted number one best regional college in the South. Also, a little fact vote here, 90% of UM graduates with bachelor's degrees are employed or continuing their education within 6 months of graduating. And in addition, UM's traditional programs, they've also offered these completely online degrees in organizational leadership, business administration, and psychology. The University of Mobile's online programs give you the flexibility you need with the personal attention you deserve from faculty at one of America's best Christian colleges. With the University of Mobile's online programs, you get the same higher education for a higher purpose that on-campus students receive, taught in compressed 8-week sessions by faculty who are committed to your success. Know yourself, know your calling, and be known. There is still time to enroll for the fall. Do that at visitumobile.edu/apply and do that today.
822 FM Talk 106.5, continuing our conversation with Quinn Hillier. Check him out, quinnhillier.com, also Washington Examiner. And Quinn, we got plenty to talk about. I want to start really quickly with some news you were unaware of until you talked to us. But the big talker this morning is former President Donald Trump. Apparently had planned to come to the USS Alabama, the Battleship Memorial Park, to hold an event over Independence Day weekend. There's supposed to be a fireworks show and all that, apparently. And the USS Battleship Commission turning down that event, saying they didn't want to have any partisan events in the park. Do you have any takes on that?
Yeah, first of all, since you had the little bit about University of Mobile, let me put in a plug. They do a wonderful job out there, and so I just want to add my voice saying, if you're thinking of taking classes, I can think of very few better places to do it.
Now, I agree 100% on that.
I definitely understand where the Battleship Commission is coming from, and this has nothing to do with what you think of Trump. Look, the pavilion often gets, you know, rented out for political events and stuff like that. That's a place that that, you know, it is an event venue. That's that indoor pavilion out there. But using the battleship and the grounds as backdrop for a political event is a different thing. And now, granted, if he were still president, the president of the United States gets to go basically where he wants. But even though he was president, he's not president now. It's clearly a political event. And so I can understand the Battleship Commission saying no. I think they would say no for anybody who was not, you know, either the current local elected official helping with an official battleship event, or the current president of the United States. Other than that, I think they would say no to anybody. Doesn't have to anything to do with the, you know, with what they think of Donald Trump.
From what I've read this morning, I believe the two events that have been mentioned is Bill Hightower when he was running for governor's office back in 2018. Not sure if that was in the pavilion or where on the Memorial Park grounds. And then also Rick Santorum back in 2012 in his presidential run. And it sounds like that was kind of the beginning of trying to keep partisan events out of the park, at least according to the commission.
Well, again, I was at the Santorum event. That was in the pavilion.
Okay.
And they've had they've used the pavilion for, you know, for fundraisers and stuff like that. That's an event venue that can be secured, you know, like other public event venues. That's not using the battleship itself as a backdrop or the grounds with the battleship as a backdrop. Two different things.
But in your view, if Trump last year, President Trump, who was running for re-election, if he had held the event then, it would have been fine.
I think probably so, because there are all these weird, you know, rules about what is political and what is not, but the White House can pretty much say, well, this is an official event, blah, 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 blah. It is a former battleship of the U.S. Navy, and I'm the president. You know, they can get away with that, but I don't have a problem with the Battleship Commission drawing a line in the sand like this. I don't think it's some unfair slap at Donald Trump. I would say that, you know, if Barack Obama wanted to do that, I think they would say no, and they would absolutely be justified. If George W. Bush asked to do some,
Jimmy Carter,
that was clearly political in nature, which this would be, I would say the same thing.
Okay, that's where I was going to go. Yeah, we have three living ex-presidents.
Four
with Trump. And
five with Carter, actually.
Let's see here.
Carter, Trump? Bush, Obama, Trump. You're right, four.
So, yeah, that's the only place I was going to go with that, Quinn, was if the others were suggested to be speakers, you say that they would all be turned away as well.
Well, if the nature of the event was, you know, no matter how you hide it, if the nature of the event was basically political for a political rally, yes. Now, if Obama and Bush came in and they were raising money for relief for, you know, some earthquake victims, that's not a political event. And I would think that they would be, the Battleship Commission would be delighted to have that. But, you know, I mean, part of it is a judgment call, but I think they're trying to set some reasonable parameters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and thanks for giving us your opinion on that. We're going to really get into this here in the next half hour. Just a couple minutes left here, Quinn, and I know you have something to say about this. You know, every 4 years, I guess every 2 years when you include the Winter Olympics, you start hearing of sporting events and athletes you've never heard of. And in this specific case, a hammer thrower, Gwen Berry, has made national news. Now, I didn't even know about this event. I thought a hammer thrower was just, you know, my dad, when I would bring the wrong tool and we were working out in the backyard, he'd throw the hammer at me. Okay, not really. But Gwen Berry, turning her back on the flag, and no one had heard of her before this week. Now they have. What's your take on this?
The take is simple. The Olympics is, for very good reason, long-standing reason, organized as an international competition where you represent your country. If you are not willing to respectfully represent your country, then you do not belong on the U.S. Olympic team. There are plenty of other times and venues for an athlete to be an individual, but when you're talking about the Olympic trials to get on the Olympic team, when you're talking about going and wanting to medal in the Olympics, by gosh, you're wearing our colors. And there's actually a rule, not a national rule, an International Olympic Committee Rule 50 that bans political protests at the Olympics. This lady, if she will not agree to honor the flag, she should be kicked off the team.
Well said. If she wanted to prove a point, maybe put the hammer down and not go to the games.
Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, also the Washington Examiner. You can see his work there. It's 8:30 with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And your voice on the phone and on the app on the way.
8:35, coming to the phones, voicemails, and texts here in just a moment, 343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can find them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And if you're wondering, wonder what 1-800-GOT-JUNK does. Well, it's right there in the name. If you have junk in your backyard, side yard, front yard, one of the rooms in your house, maybe multiple rooms in the house, and you don't have the time to move that junk,
lazy. Just say you're just lazy.
maybe you don't have any help around the house and you don't feel like, you know, straining your back or getting hurt trying to pick up all the junk you've gathered from over the years.
I think it's a work ethic issue, actually.
Well, that's
personal
what Dan
work
says.
Ethic.
I think,
because I use them.
That's right.
And so I'm just lazy.
You're just calling. That was personal. You took it personal there, for sure. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, a great locally owned franchise right here in Mobile. And give them a call today and set up your appointment. It's very convenient. They'll find a time that works for you. You'll decide on that time together, and they'll get there when you expect them. Also, the pricing up front, what they quote you is the price you'll pay. No surprise charges after the fact. They dispose of your junk responsibly. You don't have to worry about them just throwing it off into the bay or into the woods 200 yards from your house. No, they take care of the junk that you have. They put it in the places they're supposed to go. So give them a call today. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and online 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
343-0106. We're turning up your voice and we go to the phone lines, and Josh from Mobile. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. I got two topics, guys.
Bring it. What you got?
All right. Sandy Stimson, Mayor Sandy Stimson. He's smart. He's real smart. He's got a lump sum of money in his pocket that he has access to. It's a voting election year for him. He's come up with some idea to give $5,000 to city workers. What makes that fair to him so he can give $5,000 to city workers when I've had to work during this pandemic? I had to take care of my family. I had to do everything. What makes the city workers so special that he gets $5,000? I think everybody in Mobile County ought to get a piece of that pie. If you got a social security number or an address or something in this city, that's wrong.
Where do you vote?
He's doing it. 90% of the employees, for city employees, are black.
So you think it's a racial decision?
To get the vote, because he knows it's an election year.
Where do you reckon he ought to spend the money instead? You know, he's got $58 million coming down, the American Rescue Plan funds.
Think of that. Each person in Mobile could get probably $1,000 or $500. I don't care what it was. Why just the city workers?
Hey, Josh.
Why are they entitled to just...
Let me,
just them.
Okay, well, here's the one thing. But think about this. He's the mayor of the city of Mobile, so those are employees under his management, leadership. If you want $5,000, have you got a boss? Have you approached him about giving you $5,000? Sandy Stimson is the boss of those people, so in a way, it's just a... You know, you might be trying to grab some votes, but at the same time, he can't give you $5,000. He's not your boss, but your boss could.
Yeah.
And you know, also there's a lot of police officers and firefighters and EMTs. I mean, they're all included in that group there, and they all kept working through the pandemic, right? Putting themselves next to other sick people.
Right, but I'm just, you know, hey, a lot of people did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people worked other than just firefighters and police officers, which I agree with you on that now. We need them. But we also need somebody to serve your ass when you come into the grocery store and check out also to buy your family's food, too.
And it's a workers' economy, too, though. A lot of people are getting raises, not just city workers.
I'll tell you what. I think... Josh, I just want to let you know real quick. Hey, Josh, hang on. Hey, Josh.
Yes.
I did want to reiterate what you just said. Those people that worked in retail like that, especially in grocery stores... Because, again, we didn't know what was going on with this pandemic.
Yeah.
It was pretty frightening.
At the very beginning, for sure.
And those people were at those stores. I don't know if they were getting paid extra. Like Josh says, they probably should have been. But I agree with you 100% on the grocery store workers and some of the others that we haven't mentioned. And I would thank them very often when I went to the store. Okay, what's
good
up point. Next?
Yeah, so on the battleship, what you got?
Well, I just think it's disgusting. I think that if... any other political scene, Trump would have been open arms, welcomed with flying colors. They would have decked out the whole thing with flags and everything. But now that he's not president, that goes to show you the political. And they say, oh, we don't want to be political. Mm. Oh, well, heck, look who's running the situation. He's probably a Democrat or liberal. So, no, we don't want Trump here. Well, not almost everybody in South Alabama voted for Trump down here. Or supports that man. So, you know, and there's plenty that didn't. But I just think it's wrong. Boycott the USS Alabama. Do not go there on the property whatsoever. Y'all have a good day.
Hey, thank you, Josh.
Appreciate the take, Josh. Yeah, a lot of people fired up about this Battleship Commission decision. I will say the former director of the park, Bill Tunnell, is now the what's his official role on the commission? He's the chairman of the Battleship Commission. Yeah. I don't know his political swaying. I don't know his political leanings. I do know he's a great man from all I've heard. He's done a whole lot for this area.
He was a factor down there when I moved to town 26 years ago.
I've already been torn up on – listen, I think it would have been a great event. I think it would have put another spotlight on the battleship.
Mobile.
On Mobile. And I think it was a tough decision to make. When you're part of the commission, when you're the director of the park, what have you, even though Mr. Tunnell's no longer the director of the park, still chairman of that commission. You know, your goal is to bring as many people in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure on its face, you would say, okay, well, the fewer people we can make mad politically, the more wide of a range of people would be willing to come to the park.
Right.
But as someone pointed out on the text line earlier, and I kind of agree, are a majority of the people that are going to the park now, are they conservative? It shouldn't be political, really. It should be Americans. And really, you know who I see there more than almost anybody, a large percent? I see a lot of foreigners who are vacationing, who are coming to America to visit.
That's quite a sight.
There are a lot of people that I see on the ship. And we've been there pretty often.
Right.
I do think that they had a decision to make here. And either way, they didn't want to make it a partisan thing. But either way, at this point, once the news got out there,
it was going to be partisan.
It was going to appear partisan.
Yeah.
And I think, bottom line, if I just had to guess, I don't do any polling or anything like that, I think that they would probably, and you could disagree with me, I'd love to hear from you, I think they'd probably lose more quote-unquote customers, more people that come to the park, from the decision they ended up making than if they had allowed the president to come and speak. That's just my opinion.
So, but keep in mind, a lot of the people that visit the battleship are not local. You've talked about foreigners and just traffic on I-10. If you're going from Houston to the beaches or whatever, you're going to Disney.
You're stuck up there on the Bayway. You see that nice battleship. Say, hey, I might pop over there.
Maybe it's on your agenda. We're going to go to the USS Alabama. I've got a friend from New Orleans that was what he was driving. And he had a place down at the beach, and USS Alabama was always a place that he would stop along the way. So I get my point would be they're making this decision. It's headlines in Mobile, but is it headlines anywhere else?
Hmm.
So a lot of the people that visit the battleship may never really be aware of the decision coming down to keep the Trump event away. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense to me.
Okay.
Hey, let's go to the voicemail, the talkback function here, which you can leave a message, FM Talk 106.5 app, available in the iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store, and getting some opinions this morning. Here's one that was left.
I would have loved to seen Donald Trump at the battleship, but I get the board's reluctance because if they play along with political favorites one way or the other, they're going to get bashed. So they really had no choice. So I don't blame them for doing anything bad. They just did what they had to do to keep the peace.
Yeah, I think that's the way a lot of people feel, but lots of folks upset at this decision by the commission. They'd love to have seen Trump this weekend.
Yeah, and you can call, or you can also leave more messages on the app.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to do.
Yeah, very easy to find in the App Store. Here's another message left this morning.
Hey, y'all. Jim at Georgetown. The way I see it, Alabama is a bright red state. Donald Trump won by a vast majority twice. You may not be able to please everyone, but you might as well please the majority. I think they made a mistake.
There we go. I think I'm closer to Joel and what he had to say there. See if we can get one more in here really quickly.
Sure.
Let's see. Actually, you know what? Let's save it. Let's come back to it after the break. Got a couple more voicemails to get to. You can add yours to the mix on the FM Talk app. Also, plenty of text messages this morning. And we'll be back. Mobile Mornings on the way.
Also, previewing Jeff Poor's show on the way. It's 8:46. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. And the show is Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. and turning up your voice at 343-0106. Also on the text line, we're going to check out those texts. And on the app, you've left us some voicemails there, too. So you're letting us know how you feel in a variety of ways. And we give you those variety of ways on FM Talk 106.5. Also, the former chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party, Terry Lathan, she was a guest on the Jeff Poore Show yesterday, and she shared some memories of Sonny Callahan.
One of the things Sonny was exceptionally good at is we got into office with constituent services. I mean, I know for a fact, from firsthand accounts of folks, he would pound a desk. Don't tell me no. Don't tell me this can't be done. You get me answers. You get us what you need. You get my people. If they have a problem with any kind of government services, somebody better do something. And I love that about Sonny.
Another big show today with Jeff Poore. You've got Yellowhammer News' Tim Howe at 9:30, State Rep. Steve McMillan at 10:30, Pete Ream. He'll be on fire. He's at 11 o'clock and 11:30 Media Research Center's Dan Gaynor, all on the Jeff Poore Show, following our show on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I'm sure Pete will be talking about this event that was supposed to be held by former President Trump over the weekend at USS Battleship Memorial. Getting lots of texts. Play a couple more voicemails here in just a second. Hal said, personally, I wouldn't want a draft dodger masquerading as a patriot on my ship either. That's pretty harsh there. Larry and Atmore, if everyone canceled everything, that would butt hurt a group of people. We would never have another event of any kind. And that's where we're headed, right? Is there a decision that anyone could make anymore in this America or even this state that everyone would be like, wow, great job. Great point made there. I think pretty much anything now, you're going to have people upset one way or the other.
It is a pretty big division. By the way, how about Dalton and Dan flunking the living president's test. We completely forgot about the infamous
Bill Clinton. Yeah, well, he's so forgettable.
Slick,
right?
Willie.
He's so forgettable.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so there are five living presidents.
He would Bill Clinton would speak in town. It would be at a McDonald's.
You think?
I like the double.
If Jimmy Carter wanted to hold an event on the battleship, old Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. pretty old now, having trouble moving around. You think they would have turned him down?
You know, it would be like some sort of a rocking chair event. Or what would it be?
Yeah.
Like being sitting. He would do. So Bill Clinton would be at McDonald's on government, and Jimmy Carter would be at Cracker Barrel on the Beltline.
Wow, you're just making me hungry at this point. Some other texts here. Let's see. That's Ricky. And also. Let's see here. I never missed a day during the pandemic. Josh should grow a pair and quit looking for a handout. That's regarding our caller from earlier in the day. Let's see. It sure would have been nice. This is from Joe. It sure would have been nice to be able to go see Trump at the USS Alabama. Most people don't have time to go visit him in other states. Very disappointing. Greg, you should never pigeonhole yourself with art or political stuff, in my opinion. Fred, I feel USS Alabama Commission screwed up. No more of my money towards them, period. A lot of people this morning already calling for boycotts. This one is the most real thing I've heard this morning. Can you imagine the traffic jam on July 3rd with Trump at the battleship? You thought the Bayway was going to be a problem anyway on Independence Day weekend. Then it would have been a real problem.
Man, that is a good point there.
Let's head over to the voicemail, the talkback function on the FM Talk 106.5 app.
Good morning, Dan and Dalton. You have to wonder if perhaps the commission at the battleship, given the relationship, if I can put it that way, between those in Montgomery and the president are not quite so cordial, as well as Mo Brooks possibly being brought into that equation somehow. You never know. Y'all have a good day.
So that's had you heard any scuttlebutt on that, Governor Ivey, having a role to play in this?
You know, I haven't heard anything. No, not at all.
I have.
If we're theorizing, you have.
I have.
What have you heard?
I've heard that what I just said.
Okay.
that Governor Ivey. Let me put it this way. So her idea of a great senator. U.S. Senator would not be Mo Brooks.
Okay.
And so the Trump-Mo Brooks alignment looks like it's as strong as ever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Jeff can probably enlighten us a little bit more, but I have heard that.
By the way, did you see the video of Mo Brooks biking away from Jim Acosta, CNN the other day?
I have not.
So two things here, and we'll get back. We've got one more voicemail and a few texts to get to here. But so video of Jim Acosta, CNN, thorn in Trump's side during all of those press conferences. Mm-hmm. So he catches Mo Brooks in D.C., and he's going out. It looks like he's on campus at the University of Alabama or something like that. And he's getting his bike unchained from a pole there in D.C. Mo Brooks is.
Yeah.
And Jim Acosta accosts him. He jumps up and he's like wanting to talk to him about the January 6th riots. And so he runs up to him and Mo Brooks sees what's happening. And he's like, he just keeps getting his bike off. And he's like, I'm not talking to CNN. You're a bunch of liars. You know, you're going to change the truth. I know who you are. You're a bunch of liars. And Jim Acosta's like, no, I just want to talk to you about it. And he's like, I'm not talking to you. You're a bunch of liars. And then he bikes off. You know, if he was going to be involved in this event coming up here, how funny would it be if he were on the same bike and goes up the gangway of the battleship to make himself present for the
great
the
image. Great image of Mo Brooks cycling up to
cycling
the battleship.
Up, like he came straight from D.C. Also, if Jim Acosta found him that easily, what was what's-his-name's deal in California, who has a lawsuit on Mo Brooks, Swalworth, remember?
Yeah.
And he was trying to sue him for what happened on January 6th, and he said he couldn't find him anywhere. Jim Acosta just walks up to him, and he's taking his bike off the pole.
He's bicycling around the Lincoln Memorial, man. He's he's right under your nose.
Not that hard to find. All right, back to the battleship. Here's a message from David.
My feelings on the Battleship Commission canceling the Trump rally is it is antithetical to everything that ship stands for. That ship did not cower in the face of Hitler's fascists overrunning Europe, and it stood as a bulwark against Imperial Japanese expansionism in World War II. Because the commission is scared of a few of Nancy's fascists coming and disrupting the party, they're canceling the Trump rally. That's ridiculous. And it's an affront to that ship and everybody that served on that ship.
All right, David there. Maybe was that the worry that there would be protesters out at the park if this happened? I don't know.
I don't know either. And to be clear and to be accurate, did they cancel it or did they just say, if you canceled it, it was already going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was ever going to happen. You had to pass it through the board to get it to happen.
Right.
So rather than cancel, I would say for the sake of accuracy, yeah, they prevented it from happening.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same thing, but I don't think it quite is.
Well, you'll get more of this talk, I'm sure, in the Jeff Poor Show coming up in minutes. Also, Midday Mobile coming up at noon.
How does Mobile keep ending up in the crosshairs of national news?
I don't know, but I love it.
Donald J.
I love it.
He loves
Maybe
Mobile.
Anderson Cooper will come back down.
Yeah.
Shoot a shot on the Bayway. Maybe that kind of attention. Maybe we could have gotten a new bridge out of all this. Trump told the cameras, hey, pan over there. Look at all the people on this bridge. Let's get a new one built down here.
859 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton again tomorrow starting at 6 a.m.